From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
We are back on the podcast, and I know this episode is not going to post until April 17th, but we record it on tax day, so there will be a lot of tax-type stuff here on the podcast.
Wait, tax day? What's that? I'm joking.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Patience, my friend. We are sponsored, of course, by Bob Watson, Blue Springs State Farm Agent, for 5 decades. Bob's going to have a big deal coming up on May 1st. I will be on vacation that week. I wish I could be there. But he is celebrating 50 years as a state farm agent. That is incredible. He's been taking care of a lot of folks in eastern Jackson County, actually on the Kansas side too. He's licensed in both. His office is at 7th and Main in Blue Springs. And that party on May 1st is open to the public, so come on down. Let's crowd Main Street and congratulate Bob on 50 years as a state farm agent.
I'd say congratulations.
Yeah, maybe the Orange Man will be there.
Maybe.
You never know, because even when he's in court these days, we'll get to that too coming up here. Bob will bundle your home and car insurance and save you even more money. If you love State Farm, you'll love Bob and his team taking care of you. 7th and Main, Blue Springs, 816-229-7878. Auto Home Life, make sure that you have plans if you don't have plans. 11 to 2 on May 1st. That's when they're doing the big party for Bob Watson. Help us spread the word in this crazy world that we're living in. Kurt's done an incredible job lately, I think, of taking little snippets from actual episodes of the podcast and putting them up as little reels. People are watching those and sharing those. It's pretty incredible how we're getting the word around.
Yeah, it's been fun. The reels are helping for sure, I think. And I try and, you know, pick clips that are interesting or funny or different, or one of your many rants that you go on that people.
Well, God, I hope we do something interesting today, because we want to have, you know, a reel or two.
Yeah, make sure you do a good rant.
Yeah.
But yeah, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. The video podcast, if you're watching this now and seeing our beautiful faces, is on YouTube and Rumble. And then you can get the audio only version on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy, we dodged a bullet over the weekend, a World War III bullet over the weekend with Iran's attack on Israel. You knew they were going to do that, because while the Israelis haven't admitted to it yet, you kind of know that they took out that big general for Iran. So Iran wanted to let him know, hey, you know, we're still over here and we got some missiles we can throw your way. Now, with the Iron Dome and the help of the United States Navy, I think most of those things were shot down. I don't think there were any injuries or deaths. Did you hear?
I was out of town all weekend on the river, so I have no idea what happened.
Well, I mean, let's trace this thing all the way back. It goes back to the feckless leadership that we have in this country. I mean, our enemies out there are emboldened right now. They really are. And it started with our just botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, you know, with people clinging to the planes as we were leaving. Images of us leaving Saigon, you know, with the helicopters taking off from the embassy as people were holding on. And, you know, Joe Biden, like Barack Obama, said, these Iranians are nice folks. If we just give them a little bit of help, they're going to be great. Well, we loosened up their money, and what have they done with it? They gave it to Hamas. Hamas attacked Israel. Israel fights back in these situations, and now Iran is lobbing some missiles their way. And I am just really concerned that we're going to feckless our way into World War III. I mean, you got Vladimir Putin over there. He was emboldened to go into the Ukraine. You've got China. They're kind of sitting on the sidelines waiting for what their next move is going to be. I mean, these are dangerous times that we're living in. And we make fun of Joey B a lot because he's this old man who really doesn't know where he is. And he squints to read the teleprompter and he gets in trouble when he gets off prompter. But he is the commander in chief, allegedly the most powerful man in the world.
Right.
And this is what the world is coming to. It's really serious right now. So the good news is Iran said, that's all we're going to do for now. But if you come at us again, we've got more. Well, now the Israelis are like, well, you punched at us. Maybe we're going to punch back at you.
Yeah, I mean, it's all punching, counterpunching. You know, I don't know exactly what was happening over the weekend, like I said. But the Israelis, the IDF, were potentially going into Rafah, which is like the last remaining city in Gaza, you know, where all the civilians and potentially Hamas and everything are hiding out. So I don't know if that was in response to that or what's going on, but it's you know, obviously escalating because they make an action, then they make an action, then they make an action. You know, Hezbollah is going to get involved. Jordan's probably going to get involved. Hopefully the United States will not get involved.
From your lips to God's ears, I hope that you're absolutely right on that. And then, of course, one of the big issues that they've got going on right now is they're trying to negotiate to get their hostages back, and there's rumors out there that these hostages are already dead, and that's going to be a problem. So something that we're keeping an eye on here on the podcast, and we'll report back as we need to. Now, let's get into the body of the podcast today. And first of all, we thank some of our sponsors here, Royal Roofing and Solar. Man, spring is the best time to know whether you need a new roof or not. You know why? Because with the spring rains, you're going to find out where your roof is leaking. Get it inspected. My friend Austin Watterson and his team, they'll get there. They'll get up on that roof, and guess what? They're not 1099 employees. They're actual employees of Royal Roofing and Solar, which means when they get on your roof, if there's an accident, they're covered by Austin and his company. You don't want some fly-by-night company because, you know, if somebody falls off your roof or trips over the dog or whatever, they're going to come after you. And, you know, Bob Watson's going to be on your case about not having your umbrella policy updated. So make sure if you've got a roof over your house, especially if it's an older roof, like in my case, I had that shake shingle roof forever. Royal put a brand new roof on my house and it looks fantastic. And I know it is sealed properly. And if you're going to be there for a while, if it's your forever home and you want to consider solar, solar is the way to go, man. If you can basically absorb the cost over time and get a negative or zero or negative electric bill, it's going to be worth it in the long run. They'll walk you through all the steps and tell you how to pay for it, too. 816-540-7057, solarbyroyal.com, and royalcontractingkc.com. Those are the numbers that you need on speed dial if you have a roof over your home.
They have the Pink Panther on their team now. You see that?
Right. I love that.
And, yeah, I think they're celebrating their 10-year anniversary because they've that I've seen some of the signage, you know, on the highway going down to the Ozarks and stuff like that. They have 10 years on everything now. So congratulations to them on that as well.
Austin's a fantastic guy, longtime friend of the family, and just really will take care of you. And there's so many fly-by-night companies out there. Go with one that you can trust. They're the ones I trust. I also trust Medicare Simplified KC. Now, I'm not 65 yet. I won't even be 61 until September. But man, this is a conversation I want to have, especially after just spending some time in the hospital and getting the bill for that. My God, it's incredible. When you go in the hospital now, Kurt, and you know this because you were just in the hospital having the baby, they put a little wristband on you. And anytime they do anything for you, if they come in and open the curtains, they come over with the scanner and go beep.
Yeah.
Beep. Yeah. And with our awesome insurance that we have here at the company, my part in it for a 4-day, 3-night stay in which they did very little for me was $7,000. If you're coming up on 65, Medicare is supposedly going to be the be-all, end-all, but there are gaps in that. And it's why you need Kirk Doris and Lori Hocker on your team. They're at Medicare Simplified KC, and they've spent the last 10 years helping people just like you, one of the 10,000 people a day turning 65 in this country, how to figure out Medicare. It's not a one-size-fits-all proposition, and you might need some supplemental help. They can run all the traps for you on that. They'll either come to you or you can come to them. They're at 3600 South Nolan Road in Independence, 816-701-6661, on the web at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. Get the answers and know your options with Medicare Simplified KC. Okay, we are 201 days until Decision 2024. And I am counting this thing down, and it used to be a bigger number, and obviously it's decreasing every week as we talk about this. And this segment of the podcast we're going to call Danger to Democracy, because the Dems and their surrogates are peddling that Trump is a danger to democracy. You've heard them say this over and over and over again, that Trump is a danger to democracy. This may well be the last election we ever have in this country if Donald Trump wins. He will rip the fabric of this country to shreds. I mean, you've heard that hyperbolic language.
Yeah, and it doesn't work like it did the first time, you know, because like I've talked about before and like we've both said, you know, he's been president. He was president for 4 years. So to say he's going to, you know, we're going to have a new like Nazi dictatorship or something like that. They tried that scare tactic the first time. It didn't work. He got elected and he didn't do that. So it's a real stretch now.
About 2020, because that's what they based this on. 2020 and specifically January 6th of 2021. Okay. So, I mean, we've talked about this before, but I think it's worth repeating that after that election, there were things that were put in place due to COVID, right? That were outside of the legislative process in swing states. Isn't that convenient? And they did it without the legislature. And election law says that the state legislature has to weigh in on it, and they did not. They did extraordinary things, ballot harvesting, things like that. So when Trump was declared the loser, right, when all the ballots were counted from God knows where, he basically put forth every legal challenge he could. And why not? It was a close election. There's nothing illegal about what he did.
Right.
He challenged, just like Al Gore did in 2000. I mean, he challenged the election result. Now, did his language go a little bit too far? It may have, but that's Donald Trump. Then January 6th happens. And you know, the mob hits the Capitol. It was a bad look, and I said that at the time. But when you go back and you listen to what Donald Trump said, protest peacefully and patriotically, that doesn't say take over the government. So insurrection is off the table. Anybody that says insurrection, they're lying to you, because no one was ever charged with insurrection. None of the people who went inside the Capitol were charged with insurrection. Donald Trump's never been charged with insurrection. Now, what he is doing is he's in a courtroom in New York right now dealing with an alleged hush money payment to Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election. So when we talk about danger to democracy, here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about which party is really the danger to democracy when you tell the truth on these things. All right. So let's start with this. Which party is using the Justice Department to go after the opposition leader? I think that's pretty clear. Don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, again, Donald Trump's in a New York courtroom defending something that, I mean, was Bill Clinton ever dragged into a courtroom when Juanita Broderick accused him of rape? No, he had Jim Carville on his side, who said, you trail a $100 bill through a trailer lot, God knows what you'll find. I mean, that's paraphrasing what he said, but that's essentially what he said when he dismissed Juanita Broderick and all the Apollo Jones, all the other people who said that Bill Clinton did some unsurly things. Bill Clinton was elected and then reelected. Trump's in a New York courtroom, which is not a friendly place for him to be, and there are jail consequences that could come from this.
Yeah.
Well, what's going to happen then?
That's where they want him, that's for sure.
Yeah. So think about that. We live in the United States of America. This is not a banana republic, yet they are going after Donald Trump in a courtroom, and he might go to jail. What's that going to look like down the stretch for this election?
Yeah. And people are joking, you know, you have your late night TV hosts and other you know, media commentators that are making, making backhanded comments about, well, he's facing, you know, 96 charges and he's facing 435 years in prison. That makes him totally unfit for office. And it's like, that in itself is evidence of the political nature of this whole situation. I mean, we've pointed to many of the same things that Biden has done, as bad or worse than what Trump is being accused of. We know about lots of things that are happening as far as corruption and illegality are concerned that are way more concerning. And the fact that there are 88 charges, you know, according to the Washington Post here in this article that I'm showing, is a clear indicator that they're just going after this guy. And it should be obvious to anyone who is, you know, objective.
Well, Letitia James ran for attorney general in New York with a I'm going to get Trump platform. And, you know, she went after him over inflating the value of his properties in a transaction with a bank where there was no victim. The loans were repaid. The banks are lining up to give him even more money. So it's Stalinistic. It's basically show me the man, I'll show you the crime. And that's what they're doing, especially in New York, in both of these cases, in my opinion. So it falls under the danger to democracy. This is what the Democrat Party is doing. They are using the Justice Department and the justice system to go after the leader of the opposition party, which has never been done in the United States. They're also the party that wants to pack the Supreme Court with more liberal justices. You remember this? They came out and they said, well, we need to put six more on there, and they all need to be appointed by Biden just to make it fair.
Right.
Right? When Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, you know, it's not in the Constitution that nine is the number, but she said nine works. Nine is the number, but they want to pack it. This is the same party that says Trump is a danger to democracy. They're also talking about term limits for Supreme Court justices. That is a co-equal branch of government. It was set up so that politics would not be involved in it, and lifetime appointment is part of that. So they want to have term limits for the justices because they want to get rid of these younger people that have been appointed by Trump. And by the way, Sonia Sotomayor, who's one of the older people on the court, they want her out of there. She's a liberal. They want her to get out so that Joe Biden can pick somebody quickly in case he loses in November.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be totally opposed to term limits for the Supreme Court if we can get term limits for Congress. And, you know, and if we can get that first and maybe get rid of some of these lobbying groups in Washington, you know, the pharmaceutical lobby, the Israel lobby, if we can get rid of them, maybe eliminate some of these federal departments and agencies like the Department of Education. And then, you know, maybe we can talk about term limits for Supreme Court, because I'm not totally against it, but you know, they're just using it as a political cudgel at this point because it's not looking good for them in the Supreme Court, so they want to change it, you know.
A political cudgel.
Yeah.
My goodness. That's quite a term there.
Oh, thank you.
Did you learn that on the float trip?
Yeah.
You did go on a float trip. Okay, so we're talking about the party that's a danger to democracy. And again, this is another thing that is in the Constitution, set up as a co-equal branch of government, and it's the Democrat Party that wants to monkey with it, not the Republican Party. So the next thing that they want to do is they want to do away with the Electoral College. They hate the Electoral College. And this country was founded with a compromise between the large states and the small states with the Electoral College in mind, so that the small states could have a voice. Otherwise, you know, you do away with the Electoral College, we go to direct election of the president, and all of a sudden, a lot of this country, especially red state areas, don't matter anymore. This becomes about New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco. And if that's the kind of country you want to live in, now, I guess if you got enough votes, you can get it done. But the country was founded with an electoral college. So a danger to democracy, a danger to the republic. It's not the Republican Party that wants to tear up the electoral college. It's the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got a long list here of all the things that they are doing that are a danger to democracy. And when you ask them, when they say Donald Trump's a danger to democracy, how so?
Yeah, they can't really point to anything. Well, I mean, it's probably just platitudes.
January 6th, yeah. Orange Man bad. That's all they've got.
Well, if you're watching this on video, or if you're not watching this on video, I should say that this little political cartoon here is pretty illustrative of the Electoral College thing. You can see it says, this shows the power of your vote and your state if there was no Electoral College. And California, Texas, Florida, New York are vastly overrepresented in terms of the Electoral College. And yeah, there's more people in those states, so, you know, that makes sense. But as we've talked about before, there's a reason, you know, states, it's not just the people, it's actually the states too that need representation in the federal government. That's why we have two senators for every state, and that's why initially the senators were elected by the state legislatures, not by the people directly, but that's changed. So.
Yeah. So this was not a federal government in out looking for states to put into it. This was a group of states that came together to form a federal government. And sometimes, you know, the Democrats get that backwards.
Right.
The filibuster. Now, you know, we have a Senate and we have a House. The House is elected based on population. So states like California, New York, Texas, Florida, they're going to get a lot of representation in the House of Representatives. But the Senate is two per state with a filibuster. That means when the House gets their hair on fire and they pass something quickly, it goes over to the Senate to cool a little bit, and the filibuster is a big part of that. Well, the party that did away with the filibuster for federal judges was the Democrat Party. Again, this is the party that says Donald Trump is a danger to democracy. I'm going to keep coming back to that because I think this is a theme that we need to get out there and share, okay? Donald Trump's a danger to democracy, but it was the Democrats who couldn't get their justices through, so they just did away with a long-standing tradition in the Senate and got rid of the filibuster for federal judges. Well, you know, Mitch McConnell warned them, you don't want to do this. It's going to come back and bite you in the ass. And then it came back and bit them in the ass because Donald Trump got three very conservative justices appointed to the Supreme Court that would never have made it if the filibuster was still around.
Right.
And boy, do they whine about that. Oh, my God. They actually used something that Harry Reid gave them.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And this is the same party that wants to get rid of the Senate. We can't just, you know, the point you just made was perfect on that. They don't want a Senate. House of Representatives, that's okay because that's based on population. And California, New York, and Texas, and Florida, and Illinois, to some degree, are going to lead the way on that. But we don't need a Senate. So which party, ask yourself as I'm going through these things, which party is going to the Constitution and, gosh, I don't want to tear up something that I need, but I wanted to shred something. You got a piece of paper I could shred? Just in your mind, just shred, just shred something over there, because that's what they're trying to do to the Constitution. Okay.
there you go.
I wrote this in the margin over here.
That was my notes, by the way.
So. Oh gosh. Well, I'll guide you through today's episode. A couple of amendments. They hate the First Amendment. They really want to tear that up. Remember when they came with a disinformation board?
Yeah,
that went down in flames. But the Democrat Party was going to, much like the Nazi Party did in Germany, they were going to tell you what, you know, what was right and what was wrong. The disinformation board. And Mayorkas was going to basically chair the thing. The guy who lied about the border was going to chair the disinformation board. How screwed up is that?
It's such a loaded term, too, disinformation, yeah, you know.
Exactly.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. They hate the Second Amendment, too, and you know that, right? But aren't we all safer because Joey B. is going to close the gun show loophole? I mean, every thug that commits a crime with a gun, surely they're going to a gun show somewhere, right?
I don't know if there's been a single case of a prominent, you know, mass shooting or something like that happening involving that particular quote-unquote loophole. I could be wrong, but I can't think of one right now. But they're wanting to close the gun show loophole, but not the southern border loophole.
Exactly. And, you know, speaking of that, that leads us right to what's going on this week in the Senate, and that is the trial of Mayorkas, who was impeached by the House of Representatives. Now, the next thing that they'll try and do is use their slim majority for the first time in American history. Again, this is the party that's going to save democracy from Donald Trump. For the first time in American history, they want to dismiss it without a trial. And I heard Ted Cruz talking about this, and I hope we found this audio or video and audio since we're on video. But I just thought this was an outstanding display of what it is that's supposed to happen and what the Democrats want to happen.
Does this look like it right here?
Yeah, I didn't see it. I just heard it. Okay. So
Chuck Schumer doesn't want to do that. Instead, he wants to move to table the entire thing. And there are three reasons Chuck Schumer wants to move to table the articles of impeachment. Reason number one, he does not want to allow the House managers to present the evidence of Alejandro Mayorkas and this administration's willful decision to aid and abet this criminal invasion of this country. The second reason Schumer wants to table the articles of impeachment is he does not want a trial. He does not want the American people to see the facts. when each of us lay out the facts of what's going on. No Democrat argues. There's not another side. They don't defend it and say, no, 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 it's great. Don't worry about the people who are dying. Don't worry about the children being raped. Don't worry about the Mexican drug cartels making billions of dollars. The Democrats have no response. Their response is they count on the media not to report it. That's their entire strategy. And the third reason Schumer wants to table these articles of impeachment is he does not want Senate Democrats, particularly those on the ballot in November, to vote guilty or not guilty, because it is indisputable Alejandro Mayorkas is guilty. And he's not just guilty of aiding and abetting the invasion that has happened for the last 3.5 years and every dead body that has resulted. But he's guilty tomorrow and the next day, and the next day he intends to continue facilitating and accelerating this criminal invasion.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And, you know, make no mistake, the open southern border that Mayorkas lied about that got him impeached is on purpose. It's a long-term strategy for Democrats to turn certain states from red to purple to blue. But again, Trump is a danger to democracy. And I challenge any of these folks. I mean, you know, one of our keyboard warriors on one of the posts I put up on the Facebook page, I don't even remember which one it was, he made some comment about, you know, it's a terrible choice this time between Trump and Biden, but Trump is worse. And I wrote back to him and I said, taking the personalities out of this, just looking at policy, where is Trump wrong? Where do you disagree with Donald Trump? And guess what that keyboard warrior did? He went silent. I mean, when you ask the question, it's like, tell me, how is he a danger to democracy? I just lined out, I don't know, 10 reasons why I think Democrats at this point are a danger to democracy, a danger to the foundational documents of this country. And I doubt you could give me one good answer on why Donald Trump is a danger to democracy. And when you say things like they do on MSNBC, that this could be the last election in American history. Really? I mean, the guy's running for, in eligibility terms, his second term. He'll be termed out. Do you really think he would, like, seize control in the White House and not leave? Sometimes I wonder, you know, 420's coming up pretty quick, and I just wonder if they're just continually smoking pot over at MSNBC.
Maybe they are. Maybe they are. You never know.
What am I missing? Am I missing anything here?
No. And even the phrase danger to our democracy or whatever they say is nonsensical. I mean, we don't even live in a democracy. Democracy is cringe and stupid, and that's why we don't have a democracy.
But we live in a republic.
We live in a constitutional republic, and it's probably a good thing that there aren't a lot of these issues that we can vote directly on, because it wouldn't turn out well. And so, you know, it's just like the empty platitudes, they mean nothing, and it's all they have to go on. I mean, there are exceptions, you know, there are plenty of intelligent liberals, and I'm not saying that there aren't, but there's a lot of people that just have to go with the surface level talking point. You know, he's a threat to our democracy. He's going to, you know, whatever. I don't even know. And then there's nothing under that. You peel back the onion and it's empty.
There are things I want to dig into deeply with a liberal who I would disagree with on policy. Boring shit that a lot of you wouldn't even care about. But, you know, things about the Constitution and how we move forward in taxing and spending and things like that, which we're going to get to because, again, we're recording this on tax day. But more to come on the podcast. We want to thank Mark Terramina and the folks at Midwest GI Health and Wellness. They're one of the many sponsors. And a special get well soon to Mark Terramina. He's the doc there at Midwest GI Health and Wellness. He's got an entire staff and the extra staff, I'm sure they're working their butts off. Because Mark, as I was told by Bob Watson, had to have a kidney transplant. And the kidney transplant came from his wife.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. You know, I had some kidney issues a while back, and I'll never forget, you know, it was a blood pressure-related thing. And my doctor at the time, he said he wanted to get serious with me about losing weight, which I did, and getting my blood pressure under control, because he said, which one of your kids is going to give you a kidney? And I'm thinking of the four kids, and I'm like, I don't know that I want a kidney from any of them. I think about some of the things they've done to abuse their lives. But Dr. Mark Terramina found a perfect donor, and it was his wife, Stephanie. So hopefully everybody's doing okay there, and he's going to be back at work here before you know it, because there's a lot of folks who need that colonoscopy. They need that colon cancer screening. And that starts now at 45, kids, because colon cancer is creeping even younger. And that might tell you something about the world that we live in and the environment that we live in. So if you're 45 and you've not had a colonoscopy, get on the schedule with Midwest GI Health and Wellness. You can find them on the web at MidwestGIHealth.com. Google rating 4.9 out of 5 stars. That's the highest in Kansas City. They can take care of the upper GI as well. They got the entire digestive tract covered. Digestive, yep. Is that right? Digestive?
Digestive, yep.
Digestive, digestional, whatever it might be. Anyway, so get well soon, Dr. Mark Terramina, and we'll hope to see you very soon, maybe at an upcoming live event at Funhouse Pizza. They're in Lee's Summit on 50 Highway, 7 Highway in Blue Springs. They've got fun in the name. And, you know, the big fundraiser going on, in fact, as this thing will post on April 17th, it is the last day of the fundraiser for Shep's Place in honor of Jim Dingman's lovely bride who passed away, Audrey. The folks at Pizza, at Funhouse Pizza, are donating half their tips, and Funhouse is going to match that as well. I made a donation too. We'd love to have you make a donation to Shep's Place. It's a home for older dogs that can't seem to find homes because everybody loves a puppy, you know. The older dogs, a little harder to place. So that's what Shep's Place does. They take care of senior dogs. It's a senior dog sanctuary. What is that website if folks want to learn more about that?
Shepsplace.org. S-H-E-P-S place.org.
All right. So check that out. Funhouse Pizza, always a great place to go after you've had your colonoscopy, too, because you got an empty stomach, and Jim piles those pizzas really high. So, I've titled the next segment of the podcast, It's Time for the Grown-Ups to Come Back. We're seeing some crazy shit happening in this country, and it makes you wonder, where are the grown-ups in all of this? And I'm going to start here, because maybe this is an area where some of the grown-ups are coming back into the room. And by grown-ups, I don't mean the head coach of the South Carolina women's basketball team. They just completed a perfect season. They capped it by beating Iowa in the national championship, and because of Caitlin Clark, there was more interest than ever in the women's championship because Caitlin Clark of Iowa set the record for scoring for both men and women at Division I. But it was South Carolina's team that beat Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. So you would think at that point, the coach is basking in the win and at a press conference following it, and of course, why wouldn't this happen? Somebody asks her from the crowd, what do you think about trans women playing, you know, NCAA basketball?
Yeah, and I was looking for the clip there, but here's an article about it. Dawn Staley gives boost to trans rights on championship weekend. During the press conference, she said, quote, if you're a woman, you should play. Staley said during a press conference responding to a question about whether she believes biological males should be permitted to participate in women's sports.
And she didn't stop there. She said, you want me to go further, right?
If you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play. That's my opinion.
How wrong is that? Where are the feminists in all of this? Because what this boils down to is you've got a man with a penis and testicles who says, I'm going to be a woman today. And the man gets to decide he's going to play on the women's team. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that being wrong. There's safety issues. There's competitive issues. There's the shower issue. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that to be wrong. So where are the feminists out there saying, let women play against women. Let biological women play against biological women. And if you want to set up a third rail here and you want to have folks who are somewhere in the middle and they're going to do their own thing. But let women play against women. You know, we had the swimmer who couldn't make it in the men's swimming team, so he decided he was a woman and all of a sudden setting all these records for women. What do the records even mean anymore? That's kind of my basis for this.
It's like it's like the steroid era of baseball. You know, there was dudes just knocking dingers out of the park like every at bat.
Yeah.
You know, and it really tainted the record books because these people were not, you know, they were on performance enhancing drugs, you know, testosterone, having a bigger build, broader shoulders, longer arms, you know, longer fingers, more inherent strength, fast muscles, twitch fiber, is all, you know, a serious competitive advantage.
By the way, don't say taint when we're having a discussion over, you know, biological men playing women's sports. It just, I find that offensive.
All right. Yeah. I retract my statement.
All right. So the grown-ups, I'm taking advantage of your softened state since you haven't had a lot of sleep after your float trip.
Yeah, no, I'm like fully leaned back in my chair now. I'm just
like, he's like, yeah, thinking about that. I don't know what he means. Yeah, anyway, look it up. So the
I'm doing my best here. I'm doing my best to formulate my thoughts clearly. You know, we're trying.
The Kansas City-based NAIA, which is like the NCAA for smaller colleges, they have weighed in on this. And they're based in Kansas City, and by a 32-0 vote of the governing body, they voted that biological men cannot play on the women's team. I mean, it's just common sense stuff. And again, the grown-ups need to come back into the room, and the NAIA showed us that there are some grown-ups out there who can do something right. And then it makes me wonder, is the NCAA going to be next? Because they obviously represent all the bigger universities in the country. Will somebody with a set of balls stand up and say, I'm sorry if you're a biological man, but you think you're a woman, you can't play on the women's team. You know, we're not saying we don't like you, you know, we don't want to be mean to you and all that, but there are certain things you can't do, and you cannot walk onto a basketball court and play on the women's team.
Yeah. This was their statement when they made a decision. With the exception of competitive cheer and competitive dance, the NAIA created separate categories for male and female participants. Each NAIA sport includes some combination of strength, speed, and stamina, providing competitive advantages for male student athletes. As a result, the NAIA policy for transgender student athletes applies to all sports except for competitive cheer and competitive dance, which are open to all students.
So, yay, NAIA. You got it right.
Well, that's good news for you, Dale. You can still be a female cheerleader if you want to.
I've always dreamed of that. Yeah, not so much. So, yay for the NAIA. And then we move on to the next category of we need some grown-ups in the room. Student loan forgiveness, which again sounds so benign. Student loan forgiveness. We're just going to go poof. That doesn't exist anymore. Over the objections of the United States Supreme Court, co-equal branch of government, and with no legislation from Congress, Joey B. on his own is moving forward with his bribery scheme that the rest of us will pay for. As we're recording this on tax day, think about this, all right? This forgiveness plan is not a forgiveness plan. It's a transfer plan. And a lot of times to folks who didn't go to college at all, who maybe went to trade school, who maybe learned a trade and are out there working their ass off trying to live in Joey B's America. And all of a sudden, you get the bill so that somebody who took basket weaving at a liberal arts college and now doesn't want to pay their student loan back, well, now they don't have to.
Yeah, they don't have to because the guy out there working manual labor is going to do it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Or so, we're just going to sell more of our debt to China, or both.
Well, we're getting to that, too. And yet, they say Trump is a danger to democracy. Yet, it's Joe Biden acting as a dictator who is picking winners and losers, who's saying, wonder who's most likely to vote for me. I'll bet it's college people. And maybe they've got some debt, and I can go out there with my little magic wand and make it go poof. It didn't happen. Yeah. So Trump is a danger to democracy, but Joe Biden is a bastion of Republican America, of the republic as it stands. Yeah. Think about that for a second. Then there's this. Parents in Michigan. Did you see this story?
Uh-huh.
This happened, I think, before you went on your float trip, though. They were convicted in connection to their son's mass shooting. They were sent to jail for, I believe, involuntary manslaughter.
Sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison.
Yeah. So interesting. What do you think about that? Because you're more the gun guy than I am. These, as I understand it, these are parents who gave this kid a gun, you know, as a present. And there were allegedly red flags, warning signs all over the place. And this kid went to school, shot him up, killed some people. I think it was like four or five people that he killed. And he's in jail, obviously. But then the parents were hauled in because it was like they facilitated this.
Yeah.
And is that a slippery slope?
They were convicted of manslaughter. So the argument is that there were red flags about the kid, you know, saying he was going to shoot up a school or something like that. They gave him a gun anyways, and then he went and did it. So they're liable for that. Is that the argument?
That's the argument.
How old was the kid?
He was in high school.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think with a minor, there is an argument to be made there because, you know, legally, financially, parents are responsible for minor children in a lot of ways. So, you know, you can give your son a firearm. As far as I know, I mean, you're still technically the owner as the adult. But let's say you have a 15-year-old kid, you want to take him hunting, you buy him a shotgun or a hunting rifle. He can use it legally under your supervision, but you're still liable for that. You're still the technical owner because you're not allowed to legally own a long gun, you know, depending on the state, until you're 18 or 21. So that's where the rub is. Now, if he was 19 or, you know, whatever the age, if he was above the legal age and he was
18, wouldn't it?
Depending on the state. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, if he was of legal age to own the firearm and he was gifted the firearm and was the legal owner and then went out and you know, did a violent act with it, then I think there's much less of a case to be made for liability for the parents. Depending on the circumstances, yeah. You know, if he lived with them, if they knew about, you know, like maybe, you know, he's like, hey, mom and dad, I'm going to go shoot up a school. And they're like, great, here's a gun. You know, then it's like, okay, well, you know, they're obviously an accessory, you know, in some sense. There's also that angle. Are they an accessory directly from being aware of the situation or maybe even being involved in the situation? But yeah, I think his age has a lot to do with it.
I grew up around guns. I don't know about you, but my stepdad was a cop. So we definitely had that conversation about guns and what they could be used for, what they should not be used for. So I was never in that position where my parents were pushing that on me, but it's just an environment that I grew up around. It almost goes back to the car thing, you know, and I tell my stepson this, I told all of my kids this, you know, he's about to get his learner's permit. Finally, he's turning 16 in July. He's one of those kids who really doesn't want to drive, but I've made him aware that when you get this driver's license and when we get you a car, this is something for you down the road, Kurt. And you go out in that car, you've basically taken everything I own with you. Because if you kill somebody with that car, they're not going to go after you. They're going to come after me.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the corollary to guns. It does open up an interesting debate and something, you know, we could probably spend a lot of time talking about. But it just, the grown-ups need to come back into the room. That's kind of the overarching theme of this segment. And, you know, certainly I don't know that you want to give a handgun to a high school kid, especially one who's expressed, you know, certain thoughts and feelings that might end up in the way the story ended.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're a parent, certainly of an underage child, I mean, obviously my kid's 3 months old. He's not going to be shooting guns anytime soon, but I certainly encourage parents to responsibly, you know, introduce your kids to firearms when you feel that it's appropriate, you know, if they're mature enough and you're in a safe environment. But the point is that it has to be supervised. It's still your firearm, you know, and they have to be under close supervision. You don't just give a kid, you know, a 15, 16-year-old kid a gun, especially, you know, maybe there are certain circumstances where you could do that if they're like, you know, a gold star, you know, student, the best kid on the planet, something like that. But especially when there's some red flags or behavioral issues and things like that, you know, you really have to keep a close eye on what they're doing and make sure that you're not introducing anything that could cause problems.
Okay, another grown-up story. There was a grown-up at NPR, National Public Radio, which, of course, we support as taxpayers. I'm not crazy about that, but it is taxpayer-supported. Now, this guy, longtime editor at NPR, very liberal guy, so this is not coming from a MAGA person. In fact, there are no MAGA. There are no conservatives at NPR. Juan Williams, the longtime liberal commentator you see on Fox News Channel, liberal commentator, was too conservative and was fired by National Public Radio. You knew
hilarious.
That, right?
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So this guy has told the truth. And he said, you know, we blew three of the biggest stories of the last decade, and people don't trust us anymore because we are so liberal. The three stories that he references are Trump-Russia collusion, which just like MSNBC, just like CNN, they beat that drum, and they beat that drum. But you know when they stopped beating that drum was when the Mueller report came out. And then they didn't come on and say, oops, we blew it. They buried it like a cat turd. COVID was another story where, you know, they were touting the party line. If the Democrats put out a press release, it was news on National Public Radio. And then when it was debunked, they never said anything about it. Didn't say boo. Same with the Hunter laptop thing. They reported that just like the Democrats wanted them to, that it was Russian misinformation. Because that's what MSNBC was doing. That's what CNN was doing. Russian misinformation. So my question is, when are we going to stop publicly funding NPR? We don't need a third MSNBC/CNN. We've already got them. And if your ideas are so great, fund them in the private sector. Why am I funding it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because this NPR stuff, I mean, if we're being honest, like, we knew about this already, obviously. You know, we knew that NPR was a liberal rag based on the coverage. There's been stories done before about the political leaning of the people working there, you know, their where they get their donations from and things like that. So this is just another piece of evidence.
Well, they get their donations direction. From us. Right?
Right. But they have, I mean, they get private donors too. You know, that they get a lot of private donors, right. Corporate sponsorships, things like that. So, but it's more obvious now than ever. I mean, like I said, I think we already knew this, most of this, but hopefully now that there's been like an actual whistleblower, you know, from the inside that's kind of confirmed, I guess, what we already knew, maybe something will be done about it.
Well, where it turned was Trump.
Yeah.
A lot of the discourse in politics in this country turned on Trump because he drives liberals crazy. Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing. And Orange Man Bad, which you've said over and over on this podcast, is a real thing with them. It's like Trump. Oh, my God, Trump. Oh, my God, Trump. Well, where do you disagree with him? Trump's just bad. Orange Man Bad. Where do you disagree?
You're not a nice person.
Well, we'll see what happens at NPR. I still think they'll be on the liberal side. I just wish somebody would have a set of balls in Congress to say, why are we funding this with federal money? Shouldn't we?
I mean, if that doesn't show you that our institutions are like totally captured by the left, that we can have taxpayer-funded public media that is completely exposed as totally partisan, totally bullshit, and nothing is done about it. You know, I mean, like I said, we've known this for a while. It's not a surprise. Yeah. It's not like anyone is reading this article like, wow, NPR has a liberal bias? Really? Yeah, no shit.
One of the things I put up on the podcast, on the Facebook page for the podcast, was about our debt. And, you know, one of my liberal friends said, well, Trump ran it up like $10 trillion. Okay, we could talk about that. Did Trump run up the credit card? He probably did. Were interest rates at zero when he did it? Yes. Was COVID a factor? Did we have a national emergency going on? I think you could argue that we did. But yeah, he ran it up. Republicans run it up. Democrats run it up. But here's where we're going now. Where do we go in the future? We are literally adding $1 trillion to the debt every 100 days. Every 100 days, it's going up a trillion. Now, what would a grown-up do in this situation if their college-age kid basically had overspent their credit card, running in the red, blah, 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 blah? You'd take the credit card away, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of that, credit card debt in this country, I don't know if that's covered on that graphic you've
oh,
got.
Oh, yeah, I think it might be. Let me pull it back up.
Last I saw, it was $1 trillion.
Student loan debt. Credit card debt, $1.3 trillion.
Okay, so it's going up too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
$8,332 per household on average.
So what's going on there is folks who aren't making enough money to survive in Joe Biden's America, Bidenomics, it's a real thing. As much as they want to sell you that the economy's going great, if you don't understand that, you're just stupid. I mean, I went to the grocery store on Saturday, and because we were restocking soft drinks, right? Have you seen the price of soft drinks? My God, we spent $200 at the grocery store, and the biggest bulk of that, we got some meat and we got some soda, and those were the two biggest cost items.
Soda's okay. Bad for you. Stop drinking that.
Yeah. So this awesome economy that we're living in is affecting people on the lower end more than the middle and upper end. That should be obvious right now. And those folks with credit cards are basically financing this lifestyle. And now they've racked up $1.3 trillion in credit card debt as a result. So my question, if student loan forgiveness is out there, why not credit card forgiveness? That's got to be coming next. It's the next logical step.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see that happening.
And, you know, if the Supreme Court said no, screw the Supreme Court. If Congress doesn't have legislation that authorizes it, screw Congress. I'm Joe Biden. I got a pen and a phone, just like Barack Obama had, and I'll just make it an executive order. And Trump is a threat to democracy. Something to think about.
Don't forget, Trump.
If you say it enough, maybe some people will start to believe it. Trump is a threat to democracy. Never mind everything else that's happening. Orange man bad. That's all you need to know.
Just don't say his name 5 times in a row or else he'll show
what
up.
What happens? I saw that in a horror movie. If you say something 5 times in a row, something really bad happens.
No, if you say his name 5 times in a row, he shows up, he pops up, and then he deports you.
All right. Lifelong Kansas City resident Michael Schroer is the official real estate broker of the Dale Carter's America podcast. Residential and commercial experience, construction experience too. He's got the knowledge required to help you find just the right home that's going to fit your needs. First time home, maybe it's your forever home. Maybe it's your kids are gone. We need to downsize home. Maybe you've always had this dream home that you've wanted to build and you just need the land for it. Michael Schroer can show you how to get it done. Sell your house too. Michael Schroer, real estate professional, Remax Heritage. He's on board with Dale Carter's America. He came to us and said, you know what? I sell houses for a living. I love your podcast and I want to be part of it. All right. And very soon we're going to have him on talking about the real estate market that we live in Kansas City. I wanted to get that done during spring. Obviously, spring is here. The days are going fast. But if you're ready to sell or you're ready to buy, Michael Schroer is the name you need. Real estate professional, Remax Heritage. You can reach him on the phone at 816-783-8500. He's got his own website, michaelschroer.com, hisname.com. And you know why he gets his own website? Because his name is hard to spell. And I think if your name's hard to spell, you get your own website.
Is that the rule?
Michael, just like you would spell it, and then Schroer is S-C-H-R-O-E-R. michaelschroer.com. Let him find your next home, your first home, your dream home, and your downsized home, whatever the case may be. All right, so we record today's episode on tax day. I think I did this last year. Maybe it'll be an annual event where we talk about the history of taxation in this country. This country did not have an income tax until the Civil War. How in the world did we manage to get by? We did not have an income tax. Because of the Civil War and the costs associated with that, Congress passed a temporary income tax that would be 3% on all incomes over $800. So $800 back then was probably a pretty substantial salary, right?
Yeah.
So it was just the rich that paid 3% on all incomes over $800 to finance the Civil War. It was repealed in 1872. So starting again in 1872, this country did not have an income tax. They didn't really even have the authority to have an income tax. They needed an amendment to the Constitution to allow them to do that. Enter the 16th Amendment to the Constitution. It was passed by Congress in 1909 and finally ratified by enough states in 1913. It gave Congress the right to establish a federal income tax. With exemptions, less than 1% of the population paid this tax.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 1%. All right, think about that, because I'm going somewhere at the end of this. Less than 1% paid the initial income tax. Today, the federal government, your federal government, collects over $5 trillion in tax payments. $5 trillion, which is a record high. Okay, and this goes back to the Trump tax cuts, because what Ronald Reagan, I'm wearing my Ronald Reagan t-shirt today because I am a Ronald Reagan conservative. Anytime tax cuts have happened, money to the Treasury goes up, and the Donald Trump tax cuts are still in place, and you're seeing what's happening. Record numbers of dollars flowing into our federal treasury, $5 trillion. That $5 trillion, by the way, is higher than the gross domestic product of every country on earth except China. Okay, think about this. Gross domestic product, GDP, it's what your country produces, okay? And we have a fairly high, we have the highest GDP. But we also have the highest taxes going into our treasury. Okay, we raise $5 trillion in tax payments. The GDP of Japan is $4.23 trillion. Germany at 4.07. India at 3.38. The UK at 3.07. France at 2.78. Russia at 2.24. Canada at 2.14. And Italy at 2.01. These are all the countries with over $2 trillion in GDP. And again, we eclipse that with the amount of taxes that we get into the government. So who's paying these taxes? I am. I know you are.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I had to write checks to the Fed, the state of Missouri, and of course Quentin Lucas got his 1% for his unconstitutional no taxation without representation. I mean, we fought a war over that. We fought the Revolutionary War over it. And I'm going to complain about that, because this is something that they did in Kansas City and St. Louis when white flight was a real thing, when people were bailing out of the cities, but they still worked in the city. So how are we going to get some of their money? We're going to reach into their pocket, and we're going to take 1%. And guess what? They don't even get to vote on it. We'll just vote on it here. They just passed it again in Kansas City.
I was thinking about that, too, when you were talking about the 16th Amendment, which I just pulled up and I'll read, because it is interesting the way that it's worded. The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived without apportionment among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration. I mean, just like think about Thomas Jefferson reading the 16th Amendment, like he would lose his mind, you know, like even that, which was, you know, written back in the early 20th century.
That's how they got Obamacare through, because it's a tax, and a tax falls under the 16th Amendment.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So, and here's the thing. $5 trillion sounds like a big number. Again, it's bigger than the GDP of every country on earth except China, but it's not enough and will never be enough to satisfy the growth of government. Government is growing. It's like this monster that needs to be fed. And that's why Joe Biden is now proposing a 25% tax on assets. But again, like what we talked about with the original income tax, it's only going to be for rich people. It's not going to be for you and me. In fact, it's only going to affect people with over $100 million in wealth. And who wouldn't want to sock it to those bastards? Right?
Right.
Yeah. So the question becomes, how long before that scale slides down to you and me? Right? And they're talking about taxing things that have not happened. And I don't know that falls under the 16th Amendment. That falls under, hey, you paid off your house. That's a pretty big asset. I think we want a 25% tax on that.
Right. Yeah. How does property tax factor into the 16th Amendment? Or how does an estate tax, that's an even worse one. How does an estate tax, you know, you collect money as you earn it, you know, throughout your life, and you want to leave something to your kids and then you die and the government comes and takes some of that. How does that fit into the 16th Amendment?
Surely, surely this is just going to be on the people that make a whole lot of money. And if we sock it to them, you know, one of the other folks on Facebook this week said, you know, if we just got the rich people to pay their fair share, that's a Joey B line, pay your fair share.
Come on.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Come on, man.
I saw your hand reaching for that.
Which one am I going to press here?
I mean, it doesn't matter, right? What the cost of government is, it's the fact that it's a growing hydra and it needs to be fed, and we're already giving it $5 trillion, and it's not enough. Yeah. The debt and the deficit continue to spiral out of control, and now they got to find other ways to tax it. And trust me, the definition of rich is going to slide, just like it does in every case, all the way down to you if you have a job.
Just like Bernie Sanders stopped talking about the millionaires and the billionaires, and now he just talks about the billionaires.
Yeah.
Because he became a millionaire, a multimillionaire with multiple beachfront houses.
But as I told that friend of ours on Facebook, you could take everything that the 1% has, and it's not going to put a dent in. Where are we at? You had it up earlier. Is it $35 trillion yet? It's going up $1 trillion every 100 days. At some point, the grown-ups got to come in and say, hey, give me the credit card.
34.6.
Okay. So within a couple of months, it's going to be 35.
Yep.
And it's going to keep going and going and going. And at some point, somebody's got to address it. And I don't even know that Donald Trump's going to do it. I wonder who's going to do it. But my God, at some point, somebody's got to do it, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. All right. I mean, and the analogy of the credit card is apt, too, because it's money that is not only not yours, but it's money that you don't have yet. You know, you're just spending on credit. You're spending money that doesn't exist yet, that you haven't made. So, the analogy of the kid is apt, because the government works for us. They're supposed to, anyways. They're supposed to work for us. That's why we elect them. That's why we, you know.
Do you remember the famous Joe Biden thing of getting in the guy's face in the factory? I don't answer to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't answer to you.
You're full of shit. You're full of shit.
You're full of shit.
But it is really like giving your kid a credit card, and you're like, okay, you know, this is for while you're off at college. You know, it's just so you can have a couple meals a day. Don't spend any more than, you know, $1,000 a month on it. And they go out and, you know, buy a new car.
Yeah.
And they buy new Jordans and, you know, everything else.
Crazy.
Like, that's not what I gave it to you for.
Yeah. Well, here's my boomer advice, which I give to my own kids. And I've offered it on this podcast before, but it's very simple. Find something you love to do. All right. Do it to the best of your ability. Live on less than you make. And save for retirement earlier than you ever thought you needed to. If you do those three simple things, life's going to work out okay for you. And if not, you're going to be waiting for Joey B and the government to bail you out. And the good news for you is right now they're in power and they're trying to write checks. But if they get reelected, I think those checks are probably going to dry up. All right, Bob Watson, Blue Springs State Farm agent for 5 decades. In fact, the crowning achievement will be on May 1st when Bob celebrates 50 years as a State Farm agent. He's been my State Farm guy for 29 years. And a lot of that gray hair he might have has come from my kids. And I'm sorry, Bob. But Bob is going to be celebrating at his place, 7th and Main in Blue Springs, on May 1st from 11 to 2. They're going to have a food truck. It's going to be a big celebration. The folks in Blue Springs won't know what hit them when they shut down Main Street for this celebration. So go by, say hi to Bob. Tell him you heard about him right here on the podcast. Thank him for his sponsorship. And then let him take a look at your insurance needs. Bundle that home and car. So save even more. Auto, home, life, commercial insurance. He'll even insure your pontoon boat that's headed out onto the lake. Licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. Hell of a guy, too. Just a great guy to sit around and talk politics with. And if you listen to this podcast and you agree with what we're saying, trust me, Bob Watson agrees with you, too. 816-229-7878. Blue Springs, State Farm agent, like a good neighbor. State Farm is there.
Tremendous, okay. People.
So we'll leave you with this. And I, you know, California, What a great example for the rest of the state to follow, or the rest of the states to follow. We talked about it last time. They got the $20 an hour minimum wage, and then some people are just shocked that companies are saying, you know what, I think this is a good time for me to pull the pin and retire to Florida. And we're going to close our doors, and good luck to you. What? They were shocked.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. So now California, they got a new thing moving forward. Maybe you'll even agree with this, Kurt. I don't know. The right to disconnect law. It restricts employers' ability to contact workers in off hours. I got my space. I don't need to hear from the boss. Right?
That's interesting.
You're on board with that, right?
I mean...
Well, you go on a float trip. We can't find you, right?
Well, that's not even by choice. I don't have cell phone service, so you can try and reach me as much as you want. I ain't answering.
All right.
Well, so, here's the thing, right? Like, should employers be forbidden from contacting employees off work hours? No, I don't think they should be forbidden from doing that, but employees should also not be compelled or forced to respond. You can reach out to me and say, hey, we need you to do this. You know, I know it's 7:30 and you've been here since 5 and we had it and we didn't tell you to do it then, but I need you to do this now. And I can just not answer, you know, that's fine too.
Yeah. So employers, not only are you going to have to come up with more money to pay these people, never mind what the real economics are of your situation, but now when they're off, you leave them the hell alone.
Yeah.
Why would anybody open a business in California?
I have to go home and watch Netflix, damn it.
That's it. So once again, Cali leads the way. Screw you, boss. Until next week, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.